here. We left T.E. was in a mini sub going on an adventure, and there was trouble, and they were about to go into the big deep canyon that would crush the sub like a can, and the pilot had Tiki get in the seat and move the sub's controls up and down as they went toward the bottom, you remember? And it was away from the canyon, so it's a pretty smart move. Well, eventually they hit the bottom, and it hit real smooth, kind of. But the current began to push it back and forth. And in the meantime, the pilot was working on all the electrical controls inside to try to get it going. Let me explain how a mini sub works, like most subs. It has pumps inside of it. And what it does, when it goes to sink, it pumps water into these special chambers. And it's called ballast. And so then when they get full of water, the sub sinks. Then what they do is they pump the water out, and the sub goes up. But in order to do it, you have to have electricity. And remember what happened? All the power went out. Not only that, but now that they're sitting on the bottom, they start getting cold because the water is very, very cold down there. Not only is it cold, it's getting darker and darker because very little light comes through anyway. And now it's coming on nighttime on the surface. The man had a little teeny itty-bitty flashlight. He's holding it in his mouth and he's working. Every once in a while there's a spark. And he'd go, oh, oh, when it'd shock him. Finally, all of a sudden the lights came on and began to hum. He goes, we've got this, we've got this. And so Tiki gets up and the pilot gets back in his seat and he powers and he pushes the button and the ballast starts pumping the water out, and the sub begins to come up. He goes, it's working, it's working. And then he hit the propeller, and it started going forward. He goes, this is great. It took him almost an hour to get back up to the surface. But when they came to the surface, it was pitch black. When they came up, he got up to the top, and he looked out through the conning tower, through the portholes, and he couldn't see anything. It was just black. So he opened the hatch, and the pilot stuck his head out, and he couldn't see anything. The ship was nowhere to be seen. But all of a sudden, he heard something as though it was slicing through the water. And he turned just in time to see this huge ship coming right at them. If it hit them, it would cut them in two. And so as he hollered, he pulled the hatch down, and he hollered to Tiki, hang on! I look back through there and the adults were like, that's all right. God knows what he's doing. I hope that, of course, if you look in light of the people that have been flooded and everything going on around the world, I would venture to say that we're blessed. Amen?
Amen.
We're blessed. The weather has been unbelievably gorgeous. We've been blessed. But in spite of that, human nature being what it is, you would think that people would be running to God left and right. In light of what you've seen, but believe it or not, that's usually not what happens. I want to share with you a message the Lord's laid on my heart. One, this is not the first time I've preached from this, and Lord willing, it probably won't be the last, but I covet your prayers this morning as I share with you one more night with the frogs. Take your Bible, turn with me to Exodus, the book of Exodus. It's Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. And as you turn, let me explain what's going on. Let me set the context. That was Exodus chapter 8. Second book of the Bible, chapter 8, Exodus. God has sent Moses down to Egypt to get Pharaoh to let his people go, the people of Israel. Pharaoh has refused. The Nile water has already been turned to blood. And Pharaoh's magicians did some of the same tricks. Pharaoh, Moses threw down his staff. It turned into a snake and picked it up. And all kinds of stuff was happening, but Pharaoh was having none of it. Let me explain what's going on and God's wisdom behind this. Egypt had at least 80, I want to say that again, 80 major gods. 80. Now, that's not very many. The Hindus have over 100,000 gods and goddesses. But Egypt had 80. And the top 10 of their gods were worshipped by the majority of the people. And what God does each time Pharaoh says no is he sends a judgment that lines up with one of the gods of Egypt. They worship the Nile as a goddess. And so one of the first things that happened, God has the Nile turn to blood. So there's none of this is accidental. And if you know the story from the Old Testament, there were 10 plagues. The last plague was the death of the firstborn that would strike Pharaoh's home as well. Because remember, Pharaoh considered himself to be a god. His children would therefore line up to be little gods. And so the idea of God sending judgment to all of the top 10 of Egypt's gods or goddesses is not accidental. So we drop into chapter 8 of Exodus as this drama continues and Moses has appeared before Pharaoh, bringing his demand that Pharaoh let the children of Israel leave Egypt and go to their promised land. That's where we drop in. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Now it's interesting, he's saying, only in Egypt, your borders, inside your borders, there's going to be a plague of frogs. It says in verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thy ovens and into thy kneading troughs, in other words, even into your food. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses and say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. Now, it's interesting. We're told that Pharaoh's given this warning, look out, or frogs are coming. Then the next thing we see, the frogs are coming. Well, obviously, what did Pharaoh do when Moses said, let my people go? What did Pharaoh say?
No.
No. Let me tell you this. God is good, and he gives people warning before judgment. How many days have we heard about Irma? How many before Harvey? And yet there were still people that refused to leave, even in the face of Harvey. Now, I'm sympathetic and I'm empathetic. There were some people that couldn't. I don't know if you saw that picture from the flood of Harvey that showed a group of elderly people in a nursing home up to their waist in water, and they couldn't get out. Now, I'm sympathetic. I'm empathetic for that. But there were some people that are so stubborn that they're saying they're going to just set it out. And I've made it through other hurricanes, and I'll make it through this one down in Florida, and blah, blah, blah. When it comes to God's warnings to people that they need to give their hearts and lives to Jesus, do people do the same thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. So God has sent Moses to Pharaoh, and he says to him, I'm going to make the frogs come up. Guess what the frogs did? They came up. So verse 6 says, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. They imitated God. Anybody know who's behind? Who is it that has sworn that he would be like God? The devil. You do understand that the devil can perform miracles. You do know that, right? Absolutely. Up to a limit. It's interesting that they did this. Now, I want you to get the picture. There's frogs on Caleb's head. There's frogs in his lunchbox. There's frogs all over his house. There's frogs everywhere. And Caleb's got magicians, and he says, I want you to show them you make frogs come too. It isn't enough that he's got frogs all over him. He's asking for more frogs. Don't laugh, little one. There's one in your mouth right now. They're nasty. And here's what I want you to get. The devil doesn't ever bring anything good. He wanted to show his power. Well, if God can bring frogs, I can too. And the Egyptians are so spiritually stupid that they ask their magicians to copy God. Bring us more frogs. It's the same thing as saying to God, bring it on, God. You bring frogs? We'll bring our own frogs. You think you're bad? We're even badder than you are. We're tough. People, you think there are people out here that don't say that to God, but they live that way. And it's interesting, Pharaoh, as he's inundated with these frogs, they're everywhere. They come out. I love this. Look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses. Now, it's interesting. He didn't call for his magicians. He called for Moses. See, the magicians could bring the trouble, but they couldn't get rid of the trouble. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. The language being used here is like he's saying, I beg of you that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And I love this. Moses has a little Pentecostal Holy Ghost revival breakout. Listen, and Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses that they may remain in the river only? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Did you catch that? When do you want me to get rid of the frog? You know what that means, Annie? He could have said, I want them gotten rid of right now. But did Pharaoh say that? What did Pharaoh say? Tomorrow. People do the same thing. They want to get rid of the frogs in their life, but they want to put it off. They want to deal with it, but not today. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that teaches us and shows us things. Now, God, you know my heart. I want this to be a blessing to your people. And God, I want you to speak to hearts, and I'm asking you, God, to do just that. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I want your anointing on this. And God, use this, we pray. And God, I ask you to help us as we look at One More Night with the Frogs. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We love to procrastinate. As a matter of fact, it's human nature that we like to put off the unknown, the unprofitable, or the unpleasant. We like to put it off to the last minute. There are some things that are so unbelievable. I look at the different groups and things that Facebook has. It's ridiculous to me. But believe it or not, in 1957, they started a procrastinators club. No joke. The Procrastinators Club of America was founded. Several years ago, the president of the club was interviewed, and he said, We're a little bit embarrassed. He said, for this interview, it's the first time we've ever observed National Procrastinators Week on time. The club is dedicated to putting off just about everything until tomorrow or later. When asked about a theme or motto, the club's president said, we feel that anything worth doing is worth putting it off. None of the members pays their dues on time. As a matter of fact, the president of the club responded to this by saying, if they did, we'd throw them out. The Procrastinators Club. In spiritual matters, delay can be deadly. It says much about a person's spiritual condition. The Bible relates several examples of those who put off spiritual matters to their own harm. There are those who were invited to a great meal at the master's house. And the Bible says they all with one accord began to make excuse. Make excuse. Roman ruler Felix heard Paul preach the gospel. And it said it caused him to tremble. And he answered and he said, go thy way for this time, When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He put it off. And by the way, that convenient season never came. Agrippa, Israel's puppet king, said to Paul, hearing him preach the gospel, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. One of the most powerful examples of putting something off, and it appears almost ridiculous, is in this story of Pharaoh. Because here you have, listen, I don't mind frogs. They don't bug me. But I don't want them in my biscuits, amen? I don't. Now, they can climb on Caleb. I don't want them climbing on me. Justin can keep them in his mouth, but I don't want them in mine, amen? They're nasty. They're nasty. And by the way, touching them won't give you warts. It just makes you gross. That's just, you know, you may have warts anyway. But frogs, can you imagine if this morning you couldn't walk without stepping on one? You couldn't get in your car. You couldn't get in your house. You couldn't get in your kitchen. And there is a fix for it. And so what you do is, could you imagine calling Cheryl's Pest Control? Yeah, it's Chip. What's the problem, sir? Frogs. Frogs. Yes, sir, what kind of frog? Frogs. Green ones, brown ones, slimy ones, dry ones, toads. Frogs everywhere. All right, sir, we'd be right out. Could you imagine that technician showing up in his little Ford truck? He pulls up, and a frog goes, it. But then, Cheryl's beside, they have to bring out the big guns, and so they roll up this huge 18-wheeler full of frog killer stuff. And they roll up, and they say to him, and they say, all right, Chip, we got this. We can get rid of every one of these frogs instantly. And then they say, when do you want us to do it? And I go, tomorrow. Isn't that ridiculous? It's just as ridiculous for you and I to put off decisions for God for any reason. It's just as ridiculous. So here we have Pharaoh, and I love Moses, man. Moses, he, like I said, he was having a Pentecostal moment. He was sitting there, man, when do you want me to do this? Woo-hoo, glory to God. And then he says, tomorrow. But I want you to understand something. I want you to read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Because I want you to understand God's grace, that sometimes when you say tomorrow, God will allow it, but it may not turn out the way you think if God does what you want. And it says in verse 10, and he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, Moses said, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Remember, his magicians could bring frogs, but only God could get rid of all the frogs that had come. In verse 11, and the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. Hang on, hex angels going by. Better squirrel. Now, I would be less than spiritual if I didn't tell you the truth. I'd love to be on one of those. I would skip church for it, but I would love to try that. Yeah, I would try that. Mine would have training wheels and three wheels. So verse 12, it says, and Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, in other words, there was a break, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. It's interesting that when God did this and brought judgment up, he said, you know, Chip, you said that he used their gods to do it. Yeah, you see, one of their leading goddesses was the goddess Heget. She was the goddess of resurrection, fertility, and childbirth, and had the head of a frog. And you see, I know people who think they've got their own god, their own belief system, and they think that's good enough. My friend, listen to me very carefully. Unless your belief system is God's belief system, you don't stand a chance. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pharaoh was the original Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. He was the one who did what he wanted, when he wanted, because after all, remember, he thought he set himself to be what? A god. And who did this puny Jew think he was coming in telling him what to do? So then the plagues come. And when the plagues would come, Pharaoh would realize the error of his ways. I know people who have had God's hand on them, and they know it's the hand of God, and then after that passes, they still don't make a decision for God. There was a lady who lived in Tullahoma several years ago. This was back at least 3 decades, if not more. Her pastor had visited with her. She had come to church off and on, but she had not made a decision for Christ. And she told the pastor, she said, I will one of these days. She was in her house, paste waxing the floor. She was near her laundry room, and she had a gas water heater. If you know what it is, the paste wax, that is highly flammable. There was a flash fire, and she was burned, and she died as a result. She never had the opportunity, my friend. She never had the opportunity to accept Christ again. Never. It's not that God is cruel, it's just that who do we think we are, shaking our puny fists in the face of God, telling God when we will and when we won't. The idea of keeping the frogs round an extra night when they're an absolute disaster makes no sense to me. But I'm here to tell you, as a sinner, I did it. As a teenager, I had heard the gospel. I was your age, girls, and I knew what I needed to do, but I did not do it. And I put it off, and I put it off. And I've told you the story about how God reached me one day in an army barracks, and His grace. But it was as though I was spiritually saying, day after day, God speaking to my heart, when do you want me to take the spiritual frogs away, Chip? And I kept saying, tomorrow. Tomorrow. You ever heard the statement, tomorrow never comes? The truth of the matter is, tomorrow may not come for any of us. Oh, we may not have a hurricane bearing down on us, but we've got all other kinds of things. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I mean, it's biblical what's going on. You can look at this world. You do understand that North Korea is not interested in dropping a nuke on top of Nashville. All they got to do is shoot it up in the atmosphere 50 miles or more over it, set it off, and there'll be an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse. Guess what happens to your cell phone, your computer, your car instantly? Stops working. It is estimated if they do that in the area where this happens, a covering, depending on how high up it can get. See, they were wondering, how come Korea is just trying to shoot this thing higher? Because the higher they get it, the bigger the EMP and more the country is blacked out. The power grid goes out. Computers go out. Everything you depend on goes out. Instantly, you are transported back to the Stone Age in this country, and you better be able to live like an American Native Indian, or you're going to die. They say within the first 6 months to a year, if an EMP goes off of that magnitude, 85% of the current population will die. Are you ready? In other words, it'll be a day much like this. Then all of a sudden, the lights will flicker and go out. Nobody's cell phone will work. You get in your car, you can't start it. It won't run. And if you think your neighbor is going to share his water and food with you, you just try cutting in line at Walmart and look how people act. You ought to have been on the interstate this week when the Floridians were evacuating. I'm not being disrespectful. But when you've got retirees pumping out of Florida, and they're in the fast lane listening to elevator music going 60 miles an hour. They've got traffic jammed up 15 miles. I'm not making this up. You ought to have been at work this week. I feel bad for them. But what would happen if all of a sudden the cars stopped? I'm telling you, folks, you and I better be as ready as we want to be for the return of Jesus, because He said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. I know some of you are sitting there going, I'm going to Walmart, get me some water. I already beat you to it, I cleaned them out. Listen, You better be prepared, because you know what's interesting? None of this should surprise God's people. None of it. Why? Because the Bible lays out in the last days, and you fill in the blanks, and you look around you, it's happening around you. But you talk to people, you show them that, they'll even agree with you. And they say, well, when do you want to get things right with God? They'll say, tomorrow. Later, preacher. Maybe I'll come next Sunday. Who said you're going to have it next Sunday? You think I'm going to do it tomorrow, but you may never get it tomorrow. You see, some good lessons are in here about the dangers of spiritual delay. Delay defies God's authority. You see, it was God who told Moses what to say. In other words, Pharaoh wasn't just defying Moses' words. Whose words were he defying? God's. I am merely a messenger. I didn't write, contrary to popular belief, I did not write this book. God did. When I deliver to you what God's Word says and teaches, or one of our teachers delivers it to you in your class, you are hearing the Word of God. And when you say tomorrow, or no, not now, or another time, you're not saying it to me. You're not saying it to them. You're saying it to God. And what the Bible says, it says, and this is act, it hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know why? The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. If you don't respond to what God is doing and you keep telling God no, you begin to develop a callousness toward God and His thing. Some of you in here, you may be so in tune with God, you're just like the butter in God's hands. All God's got to do is impress you, and boy, you're on fire. You want to do it for God. Don't ever lose that. Maybe you're in here and you don't give a rip. You don't care. You're not impressed. God spoke to your heart at some time in your life, and you told God tomorrow. You told God no. And what will happen, you basically are saying, God, leave me alone. And if you say that enough, guess what God will do? He'll leave you alone. In the book of Proverbs, it says, there will come a time where people will call on me, and I will not answer. And they'll yell for me to help them, and I'll mock at their calamity. I'll say, oh, really? You want me to help you? Because God has been ready. He wants to. But on these pretty days, people don't feel a need for it. But you let a flood come, and all of a sudden there's cries across the nation for us to pray for one another, and we're trying to kick God out of our schools and out of our country, and then when it hurts, then we want God back. He's not a fire extinguisher or a lifeboat. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. You don't just hatch up to Him when you want something from Him. You give your life to Him. He wants you. Amen. When are you going to give Him you? Quit playing at religion. Quit even pretending. Just be God's man, God's woman. Give yourself to God 100%. And don't do it tomorrow. Because when you tell God tomorrow, you're defying His authority. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He says jump, we ought to say how high. There's an old black preacher. He was known for his prayers and his faith. Somebody was making fun of him. And he said to him, he said, preacher man, what if God told you to jump through that wall? He said, if God told me to jump through the wall, it's up for me to jump and God to make the hole in the wall. But the problem is, we don't even want to move for God. We don't even want to come forward and pray. We don't even want to talk to others. We don't even want to live the life. And we think that we get out of this life escape-proof and never account for it. I'm telling you, no, no, no. The Bible says, appointed a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. When you and I die, we will instantly go into the presence of God. We will give an account. Do you know what happened to Pharaoh? One day, guess what? He died. Oh, the priest. They went and they ceremoniously went up through his nose and removed all his brain tissue and put it in a container. Then they removed his inner organs and they put those in separate containers. Because you see, one of the things the Egyptians believed is, on the other side, the gods would weigh your insides. And if it weighed for the good, you had a good afterlife. So that's why they buried your boat and your slaves and your animals and your tools and your gold with you, because you needed it in the afterlife. Fools. You don't take it with you. all of it's left behind. And it's not based on how good a person you are, whether or not it weighs to the good, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how nice you are, what a good person you are, if you don't know Jesus, you are not ready to meet Him. In light of what I see going on in the world, if I was not right with God, I sure would think, I would hope, I would want to get right. Amen. And not put it off. But I'm telling you right now, there are folks in this room, you've got family, friends, other loved ones that you care about that have been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, haven't they? Say amen. Amen. You can't make them. But what you do, don't give up, because it's not your word that they need. They need God's word. You don't have to quote it verbatim for it to have power. All you have to do is say, God says you have to ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior if you want to be right with Him. Amen? You don't have to word it in King James English. It's good that you memorize Scripture. You should. You and I should. But if you send the message, that's what reaches them. And here's the message. This world is full of frogs. All different kinds. They come in all different shapes. And that nastiness comes down on us. And it piles on us. And it's heavy on us. And God has come to take them away. God wants to take the frogs away. And the question is, when would you have Him to do it? Tomorrow? That would be nice if you knew you had tomorrow. That would be nice if it wasn't absolutely defying God's authority. And you see, that's just the authority of His word and the authority of His work and the authority of wisdom. You find that Pharaoh comes to a point that Pharaoh gets so brassy. You know what he says when Moses says, the Lord says, let my people go? You know what Pharaoh said? He said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? You may not think you've got the brass to say it, but every time you tell God no, you're doing the same thing. No, God. Not me. Don't, I'm not going to do that. You send somebody else. God, you let somebody else do that. No, not me. Who are we to defy God's authority? And who are we to demand that attention from God, that negative attention? Because you see, delay not only defies God's authority, it demands God's attention. You don't keep telling God no and God not notice. Do you hear me? God notices. You that have children, true or false, you notice when your children disobey you. True or false? True. You think God notices? True. And God wants to know, when are you going to quit? Tomorrow. What? I've watched parents. Now, sometimes I have been part of the child's own undoing, not intentionally, but yet sort of intentionally. My assistant pastor at the time, he had a toddler that was adorable. She's 2 years old. She, a kid loved peanut butter. She was crazy over peanut butter. They told me this. And the mom, Angela, she was very prim and proper, very prissy. And I mean, that's okay. I mean, that's better than nasty, I guess. And, you know, but see, that was her. Everything was in place. Everything's perfect. I went over to visit with them, and I looked down at Brianna. I said, Brianna? She goes, uh-huh. She was so cute. Go get the preacher peanut butter. Off she goes. Mom had gotten up. Dad was chattering, not paying attention. She went and got me the peanut butter. I know this wasn't nice, Brenda, but what I did is I took the lid off the peanut butter. I said, baby, get you a handful of that. She took, boom, one of them great big jars of Jif, soft. You know what I'm talking about? Boom. And she went, and it was all, her mama come around the corner. It was hilarious. She scared me so bad, I dropped the peanut butter. And she looked at me, she turned red, and she goes, preacher! Brianna! Preacher! She said she had just told her to stay out of the peanut butter. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I still still reminded of that. It's been over 30 years ago. She's grown, got her own kids now. If I went to her house, I would go for the peanut butter. If she knew I was coming, she would. Let me tell you something. When you do something intentionally like that, it's not so funny with God. When God tells you no, and you do it anyway, you can expect God's going to have something to say about it. Amen? So I'm going to ask you this question. What is it in your life? What is it in my life that God has been dealing with us about that He wants us to take care of, to change, or to make new? What is it? Whatever it is, are you telling God, am I telling God, tomorrow? Tomorrow. Get this picture. It ain't peanut butter. It's frogs. And they're nasty. And they're into everything. I know people, listen, I know folks that are hooked on crack and other things. You can look at them. Their lives are miserable. And you ask them, why don't you get some help? Well, I'm going to. When? Well, one of these days. Tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, we serve a God of now. He said, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I don't know your spiritual condition, but I know this. That in this room, there's bound to be somebody besides me that God deals with about stuff to change or stuff to deal with. I know Jesus is my Savior. I don't have to deal with that. I've given my heart and life to Him. But I still, as a Christian, there are things I struggle with. How about you? Are you telling God tomorrow? Guess what? God can take away the frogs today. Why wait for tomorrow? Delay deepens our arrogance. If you wait, it hardens the heart like it did Pharaoh. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily against the wicked, their heart is fully set in them to do evil. What does that mean? Because they don't get hit by lightning when they do wrong. They keep doing it, and they think they're getting by. And what they don't realize, God's given them chance and grace to repent and mercy. What's going to happen? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You take a sin that's private, and you go to God with it and deal with it. God will deal with you in private. But if you don't, oftentimes what God will do is He'll have your sin become public. Not to humiliate you, but to not give you an excuse, because some people hide their sin, think nobody knows. The enemy wants you to hide it. We were talking about it in Sunday school. We were talking about submitting to the government and how people are subversive sometimes to government and things like that. God doesn't want you hiding it, because the Bible says the truth shall make you. If you want to be free from it, men, admit it. I asked the men down there, and I'll ask you the same question. Does it make you think less of me when I tell you I struggle? Does it make you think less of me when I tell you that I'm broken? Then why do you think it will for you? When you admit it, there's people who won't come to the altar and pray about something they've got. And if you've got to come every time you have service to get victory, bless God, do it! Quit trying to be full of pride. You know what? Pride is the thing that got Satan booted out of heaven, and it'll keep people out of heaven. And it'll keep you from being as close to God as you need to be, because you don't want to admit you need it. You want to say to God about everything He's trying to do in your life. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've reached a point in my Christian life where I realize I'm getting older. And I probably may not have as many tomorrows as I had yesterdays. And so I want my todays to count. Because tomorrow may not come here. Where are you spiritually today? The conscience can get seared. The heart can get hardened. And a soul can be lost. The Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. 115 years ago, an earthquake sent warning to the inhabitants of the French colony of Martinique. Mount Pelee was stirring. It had been there for eons. It was one of the things you could see when you approached the island. It had been a landmark, and people never thought of anything about Pelee. The earthquake sent warnings. Others, scientists said, hey, there's going to be trouble. Pele's stirring. Even though it caused one of these series of earthquakes, caused a mudslide, it killed several hundred in a factory outside the edge of town, all the warnings were ignored. At exactly 8.02 p.m. on May 2nd, 1902, Pele exploded. And in a matter of less than 30 minutes, upwards of 30,000 people died. They ignored the warnings. They thought they had tomorrow. And all they had was that day, and not even a full day at that. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed, your eyes closed? I'm going to ask Brian, if you would, to come and play on the piano softly with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. This is your day. Do you have the courage to tell God, okay, God, today's the day. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be who you want me to be. And I'm going to trust you for it every hour, every minute, and every day. And God, I need your help. I can't do it myself. But God, I want you to get rid of the frogs in my life. Today. Today, God, I want you to get rid of the frogs in my life. If that's you, would you come? Would you come? And would you kneel? Say, God, I want the frogs out of my life. As others come, would you come? Would you come? Say, God, I want the frog. Look at this. Brothers and sisters, look at this. People coming. You can come. Don't hold back. Say, God, I want the frogs out of my life. I want to be who you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be the woman. I want to be the man that you want me to be. God, I need your help. I need your grace. I want the frogs out of my life. God, I want to be who you want me to be. I want victory. I hear about it. We sing about it. But God, I want victory in my life. And only He can give it to me. If you're in the pew, would you pray with us? Oh God, we bow before you and we come before you for our brothers and sisters. Oh God, who've come, and God, they want the frogs out of their lives. God, they want you first and foremost, more than anything. God, they want you. God, give them the grace and the courage to do whatever they need to do, to get any help they need to get, God, to go anywhere they need to go, Father, to do whatever they need to do to get the frogs out of their lives. God, they surrender to you. All Pharaoh had to do was just say yes to you. God, they come this morning in the name of Jesus, and they say yes to you. And God, I'm asking you to bring them victory. Oh God, across these altars today, across these aisles, Lord, that you would bring victory into our lives. God, that you would bring victory into my life, Lord, in my areas of weakness, God, and brokenness. Oh God, I pray that you would guide and direct us, Lord. Oh, Lord, that from now on, Lord, this part of our lives and onward will be the best part of our lives for you. And we do pray for those that are in harm's way, those who have lost homes, those who have lost everything, God, businesses. Oh, God, that they would come to a saving knowledge and relationship with you. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you. Now I'm asking you, God, that you would have your way. That you would speak to our hearts, and from this day forward, God, we'd be different in you. It would show, God, in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our approach in life, God, that we've got rid of the frogs, God. You've got them out of our lives. God, the frogs are no more in our lives, Lord. God, we trust you. And we bless and praise your name in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you've done and what you're doing in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Everybody praying. Father, we love you and thank you and praise you for your goodness. Oh, Lord, help us to be closer than we've ever been. Help us, Father, to hold up one another, to live for one another, to love one another more than we ever have before. God, we need one another. We're all broken. God, we need to be loved unconditionally, Lord, just like you love us. Help us love one another. Do a work, Lord, that spills out of these walls, Lord, and across this countryside, God, and across this world. God, do a work that in open doors that no man can shut. God, and do a work, Lord, in the lives of people because of the decisions made today. Father, we love you and thank you. And we praise you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We'll ask our ushers to come up and we will receive our National Rescue Mission offering. And I thank you for your support of that worthwhile organization. You made a decision today for the Lord. Would you say amen?
Amen.
How about this? No more nights with the frogs. Not one more night. No more nights. God is good. Amen. Dwight, would you ask the blessing on the offering? Service like this, surely the Lord has stirred somebody's heart besides mine. I wonder if you'd stand and give a word of testimony for the Lord. Anyone today? The obedient. Anyone?
I thank the Lord for all he's done for me, Brother Chip.
Amen. 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 Anyone else? Anyone else?
Always. I just thank the Lord for this church. And, you know, I have my frogs and some of it's self-pity. And that could be pitiful about the frogs come in a lot of different ways. And I always had a little problem with wanting God to pardon Pharaoh's heart.
God for his amazing grace.
Amen. Amen. Without mercy, without grace, we would not be here. Amen. Every one of us in this building is broken, folks. Every one of us in this building needs God's grace. Every one of us. And there's a hurting world out there that needs to know this. And God's wanting us to tell them. Show them. Anyone else? Before we go.
I'd like to say that through man's surgery and all the little bumps that he's had, God has taught us so much. Feel so much closer to God because, you know, I really had to depend on him. Things that I didn't know. I had to do things on the farm I didn't know. The other day I was trying to fix a water gap. I mean, I guess y'all all know me and Ned. I never did the farm and Ned did. A lot of things I just don't know. Don't even know how to use a lawnmower. But anyway, I was trying to fix a water gate and it was wire that stretched across the fence, and I thought, I can't. It had all kinds of wood and stuff in it, and I thought, there's no way I can get this up. I mean, I tugged and I tugged, and I thought, Lord, I can't do it. You've got to help me. And I want you to know, that fast, that fence just came up. And I went home and I said, Bev, were you praying? He said, yeah. And so I could feel God. I knew it was God, because I couldn't have done it on my own. And that's just something little. There's been numerous Sundays, time after time. And I'm just thinking.
There's a song that said, he's faithful. He's faithful and true. Let's sing.
God for all people.
Amen. Let's stand together. All hearts and minds are clear. We'll be dismissed in prayer, and I'll ask Brother Medford to dismiss us.
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for all you've done for us. Go with us as we go our separate ways. Watch over us and guide us. Give us, Lord, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.